Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you. Glad we could be together, sing together, and pray together. It's always good when we can come together and worship God, isn't it? And that's what we've done this morning. We've done that very thing, and I appreciate you being here and helping me worship God this morning, and that's what you've done. We've been talking about during the month of January, and we're going to continue along that line today, and conclude our series of studies on what can happen in the year 2020. Always, as we talk about these things, we're not just talking about this month about these things. We're talking about the entire year as we look at the year and what we're able to do or not able to do. And today we're going to talk about why religious people in 2020 might give up. And I'm not suggesting any of you are thinking about that this morning, but it behooves us to think about some things that might get in the way of us serving God in the year 2020. The Bible talks about a lot of things, and it warns people about certain things that might cause them to turn away from God. When I say giving up, I'm talking about giving up in our service to God. So it behooves us then to look at certain things that might cause us to do that. The Bible is very clear about some things could cause us to do that. For instance, drifting can cause us to do that. We might drift away from the moorings that we have in life, from the moral values that we understand are right, from the religious principles that we understand are right. In Hebrews 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul is warning the Hebrews of that very thing. He said, we're going to have to pay closer attention to what we've heard. The reason is so we won't drift away from it. When you do certain things in life, you go and check them again so that they won't drift or they won't change. That's what you do. You make certain that something doesn't cause whatever you're doing to get off the track. Well, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He's talking about something that might cause us to lose our attention to those things, to forget about these things. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, till I come, give heed to reading. Continue to read. Continue to be alert. Continue to be on the alert about these things. Well, what can cause us to drift away from our moorings, our spiritual moorings of Jesus Christ and of the Lord God and the things we understand that are true right now? Well, I would suggest to you that one of the things that can cause us to do that is unbelief. It might get to the point that we just don't believe what we used to believe. That those things that we know are the bedrock of the foundation of our belief in God all of a sudden become crumbled in our life. And the things that we used to know were true and have been proven to be true, we decide are not true anymore. In Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 14, the apostle again writing to these Hebrews, and you might wonder why he's writing these things, because some of them had already forsaken the assembling themselves together, verse 25 of chapter 10. So he's warning those who are still faithful to God, there's something that can happen to you that might cause you to turn away from God. And that is drift away from the things that you know are of a surety. When Peter was writing one of the books that bears his name, he said, as long as I'm in this tent, I'm going to continue to remind you of the things that you've been assured of. Well, the reason he would do that is so they don't depart from them. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul is doing here in Hebrews 3. He says, take care, brethren. In the first passage we read, Hebrews 2 and verse 1, he said, pay attention. And they said, we must pay much closer attention. But in this passage we have on the board, he's talking about, take care, brethren, that none of you be in any form have anything in you that is of an evil content or purpose. Unbelieving heart. Be careful that you don't have an unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. What can happen to us if we unbelieve the things God says? It'll cause us to fall away from God. So in 2020, what might make us give up in our service to God is we start disbelieving what God said. For we have become partakers of Christ. He's reminding them in this verse, in verse 14, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. So he says, take care that you hold fast to it, that you don't drift away from it. Basically talking about the same thing. The first verse we looked at, he said, pay much closer attention. The second verse we looked at, it says, take care that you don't drift away. Well, what causes that sometimes? What causes a person to have unbelief? It's apathy. Apathy can cause that. It can cause a person to give up in the year 2020. Of course, it could happen in any year or any month, but we're talking about 2020 now. It's possible that we could give up because of apathy. By leaving the elementary teachings of Jesus Christ, Hebrews 6 and verse 1. He's talking about you need to pay much closer attention. You need to take care. You need to be careful that you don't leave the very basic elementary principles of Jesus Christ. And some people have done that. I've known young people that have gone to college and got under the wing of some professor who caused them to lose their faith in God because he doesn't have any faith. Or to cause them to begin to say, I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, or something of that nature. And where, as that person was a very faithful child of God for a while, now they don't believe in God at all, or they're not faithful to God, they're not religious at all, they may have become agnostics or even atheists because they've left the faith. And through apathy, through the fact that they don't spend a lot of time studying the Word of God and musing upon the Word of God and thinking about the Word of God, that they've not become mature. In Hebrews 3 and verse 14, we found out that we are to hold fast the beginning of our assurance. In Hebrews 6 and verse 1, he said, let us press on to maturity. That's one of the passages we have on the board. Let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We've already got that. Let's go further than that. Let's go into the maturity phase. Let's become full grown. And the only way we can do that is to study, present ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that need not to be ashamed. In Revelation 3 and verse 2, another passage we have on the screen this morning. Here John is writing to the church at Sardis. And actually Jesus Christ is writing this through his pen. And he's telling Sardis to wake up and you need to strengthen the things that remain, which he said are about to die. You know, if we don't use the things that we knowledge that we have, eventually it can dissipate and it can eventually die and we'll forget that thing. As I mentioned a while ago, Peter said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to continue to remind you of these, even though you're sure of them today. Well, the church at Sardis, what happened to them was they weren't strengthening the things that were in. They were becoming very weak. And he said, what's going to happen is the things that remain will die. They're about to die. And why was that? Because I've not found your deeds completed in the sight of God. They weren't completing the action. They were guilty of apathy. They were letting things slide. Well, I'll do it some other time. Or maybe someday I'll get to that. But they never did get to it, and so eventually it was going to die. Their energy, their zeal for God will eventually die. They might have zeal for something else. Paul talked to the Romans about some people having a zeal for God, not according to knowledge. You see, they didn't have the knowledge of God. They let that die, and so the zeal they had for God was with other things. It was not the kind of zeal that was based upon a foundation of truth. So in 2020, we have to be careful about that. That's why even though we read the Bible last year and the year before that and the year before that, maybe we read it for 40 years, we need to continue to peruse upon the mind of God in what we call the Word of God or what we call the Bible sometimes. Well, not only is apathy something we have to be aware of in 2020, but we also have to be aware of the fact that sometimes people give up because they're just too lazy to do what they need to do. And they give up. And again, this is no reflection on any of you. I'm not saying you're guilty of this. I'm just simply saying it could happen to any, and to me. It could happen to any. I've known some preachers who have become so lazy in their study. It shows in their sermons. If that ever happens to me, you need to tell me. I've told Marty if I get to the point I can't quote the scriptures anymore doing that, she needs to tell me and I need to quit. If we become so lazy we don't want to study the Bible, then I'll tell you what will happen to us. Those things will die, as we pointed out a while ago. In Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12, again, the Hebrew writer is saying, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, he says. Be just as diligent when you're 60 as you were when you were 20. Now, physically, we may not be able to do the same things when we're 60 as we did when we were 20. But mentally, as long as our mind functions, we can be just as mentally acute when we're 60 as we were when we were 20. In fact, we might even be more so because we have more knowledge. We've lived longer. We've seen things. We've adapted to things. We've learned that this thing is not the thing to do, and this thing is the thing to do. And we learn that over a period of time as we grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want you to show the same diligence. In other words, what he's talking about to these Hebrews is, at one time you were diligent for these things, but now you've forsaken the assembling yourselves together. You're not as diligent. It used to be important to you. You remember when you used to come to all the services to folks? Do you remember that? You remember when you were so diligent and you wanted to be there? Maybe you're that way today. I'm not saying you're not. But do you remember when you first obeyed the gospel, how diligent you were, how much you wanted to learn? Reminds me a little bit of little children as they ask the same question over. Tell it to me again. And they're like sponges. They want to learn everything. They can't wait to learn something new. That's why that little child quits crawling and gets up on its feet and its legs and starts walking. It wants to grow. It wants to learn something. It sees you walking. It wants to walk. That's what that child wants to do. That's the way we should be as children of God. We need to have the same diligence to the very end of our life. Isn't that what Jesus talked about when he said, be faithful unto death? Be trustworthy. You said you would be. You committed your soul to be. Now continue in that commitment. Continue to be faithful till you die. That's what Jesus said in Revelation 2 and verse 10. But again in Hebrews 6 verses 11 and 12, he went ahead and said, I want you to be diligent to the very end in order to make your hope sure. Or one translation says, you're calling an election sure. We're diligent to them because we want to make our hope sure. What is our hope? We live in hope of eternal life. We want to make sure that we have that eternal life. So we're going to be diligent to the very end of our life. He went ahead to say in verse 12, we do not want you to become lazy. He uses the word lazy. We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Faith and endurance. Don't become lazy. Have you ever started a project and then you lost a little interest in it and you might have finished the project, but when you get to the end of it and see it, it doesn't work very good because you got so lazy you didn't follow the principles you knew you should have followed. Well, maybe all of us have done that. Maybe when we were in school and had to write a paper, have to turn it in a certain time, we wait till the last night to do it or the last week to do it, and we rush through it and we don't have enough time to look at it as we should, and we get that grade on there and a big red letter of some kind on it when the teacher hands it back. We know we could have done better because we weren't diligent. Well, he said, I want you to be diligent to the very end. I remember I had professors in college who would tell us, now you're going to have to turn a paper in at the end of the semester. You're going to have to turn a paper in. Here's the subjects. You pick a subject and I would recommend that you start now. That's what they'd always say. But you know, semesters are long. You go for weeks, don't you? Why do I need to start now? And so the time comes, you put it up. Well, I'll start next week. Well, next week comes, I'm busy. I'll do it the next week. Okay, I'll do it next month. Now the semester's about to end in December. That's when they used to end in college. And it's due tomorrow. And so what do you do? Well, you find somebody that wrote on it a long time ago and you try to use what they had to say and some other things, and maybe you look up a few things and you just put it all together. It's the hottest podge of things. You put it together and then you put it in one of those blue books and hand it in to the professor, and he hands it back to you or she does the next semester, and it's got a big on it, or maybe this, a D, or maybe a C minus or something, and you know you're better than that. You just didn't start when you should have, when you had time to do it. Well, we need to be diligent to the very end. That's what he's taught. And not be lazy. So what do we do? We imitate those who faith and endurance inherit what is promised. We imitate those who did right. And we can imitate them.
Young people, you can imitate your elders. You can imitate your parents. You can imitate your aunt or uncle or somebody who's faithful to God. You can live like they live because they've been living right. Use them as an example. Have as your example someone who's faithful to God and wants to go to heaven and proves it by the way they act in 2020. Well, we're talking about to the end. One of the reasons people might give up is because they lack endurance. We talked about that a little bit already, haven't we? A little bit like already about this. When Paul was writing again to these Hebrews, he said in Hebrews 12, let us lay aside every weight, everything that gets in the way, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. That's what he's talking about. Lay aside anything that gets in the way. Don't let anything get in the way. Let us run with endurance, he says. Some translations use the word patience there, but it's talking about endurance. Endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. In other words, we fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what the newer translation says. Who endured the cross. If we fix our eyes on Jesus and sure see what he endured, what he had to go through, and he went through it for you and for me, that helps us to understand we can go through certain things. He despised the shame and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Consider Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against them, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. In other words, let Jesus be your example. Now, we don't have any pictures of Jesus, do we? Literally pictures to hang on the wall. Some people have suggested he might look like this or something. But a lot of us have pictures of other things in our house. We may have pictures of somebody, some great athlete or something in our house. We may have all that. And I'm not suggesting there's anything necessarily wrong with that. But in our mind, the picture ought to be of Jesus Christ as a Christian. He's the one I'm going to follow. I want to be like him. I want to set my eyes on him. I want to fix my eyes on him. That's what I want to do. So I can strive against sin. So consider him who, even though there was hostility against him and he endured that against himself, and we, let's not become weary and discouraged in our souls, for you have not resisted, he said, to bloodshed, striving against it. You have not resisted that way. Jesus Christ did, yet he died. We read a passage this morning, didn't we, in the book of Matthew, where the high priest and so on were accusing, falsely accusing him of some things, and Jesus didn't answer a word. Didn't say a word. He resisted them. He'd already told them the truth, and they weren't about to believe it, so he didn't say anymore. He didn't say that. In Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16, here John again is writing the words of Jesus Christ to the Laodicean and said, I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold, he said. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Or one translation says it even more graphically, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Why is that? Because they were lazy. They didn't care enough to finish anything. They were neither hot nor cold. They were just lazy. Well, sometimes what can happen to us, if we're not careful and cause us to give up, is because of the chastening of some. Some mocking and some ridicule. What are you doing going on Wednesday night? What are you doing going the other times of the week? Why have you put that ahead of other things in your life? You only go around in life once. Get all the gusto you can get. In Hebrews 12 and verse 5, again the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the Hebrews, he's trying to get the Hebrews to realize that some who have forsaken the assemblies together, they had forgotten some of these things. I don't know what year this was. We don't know for sure. But let's just say he was writing this to the Hebrews in 2020. And what he's saying to them is there was a chastening that was taking place by others and it caused them to forget what they need to know. But even God chastens us. But what does he do it for? I don't like to hear people tell me I'm wrong all the time. Well, God does that sometimes. He tells us we're wrong so we can do what? So we can do right, so we can be better. Even our parents do that from time to time. You remember when you first learned how to tie shoelaces? Now, I realize a lot of shoes, they don't have any shoelaces. But do you remember when you first learned how to tie shoelaces and you were there and you'd watch, you could see Dad tying his or maybe Mom tying hers. She put on her sneakers or whatever it was. And here you fumbled around that thing and couldn't tie it. Somebody had to show you how to do that. They had to show you how to do it. And when you did this, made a big mess out of it. And here's all this stuff in here. Hard to get it undone and all that. Mom and Dad said, no, that's not the right way to do it. That's chastening. That's what that is. Not being ugly, but it's chastening. No, this isn't right. You tied this end thing to a knot. Look how difficult it is to get it out. Have you ever tied them into a knot and can't get them out? Well, Paul says, with regard to chastening, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Why does the Lord chasten us? I'm tired of the Lord telling me I'm wrong all the time. Why does He do that? For our profit, He says. Why does He rebuke me? For my profit. What is the profit? That we may be partakers of His holiness. That's what He's talking about. That's what He does. That we may be partakers of His holiness. That's what He's talking about. That we may do all of these things. Be partakers of His holiness. So what Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Because of the chastening of the Lord. The Lord chastened me. How was Paul chastened? Well, he had infirmities, folks. He had infirmities. And he was chastened by the Lord. How did the Lord chasten him? He said, My grace is sufficient for you. What did Paul do? He prayed to the Lord three times that the thorn in the flesh might be removed from him. He said, my power is perfected in weakness, Paul. I've given you my grace. How did Paul react to that? Well, if the Lord's not going to do what I want Him to do, if He's not going to take away my infirmity, if He's going to chasten me about that, I'm not going to serve Him anymore. No, that's not what Paul said. He said, no. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast in about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. What's he talking about? I want the power of Christ to dwell in me. And even though I'm going to be weakness, so I'm well content with my weaknesses, he said. He learned to be content. He said that to the Philippians. I've learned in every state I am therein to be content. I've learned to be content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, let's go back a second now and look at the last one. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, talking about chastening and now talking about infirmities, Paul said, let's don't lose heart. We don't lose heart, for in due time we'll not grow weary, but we'll receive something. In due time we will reap, he said, if we do not grow weary. So what's chastening for us? For our profit. Infirmities sometimes that come upon us and God doesn't alleviate them, we can still serve the Lord, even when we're insulted. We can still see the Lord even when there's distress, when there's persecution, even when there's difficulties. We do that for Christ's sake because He also suffered all of those things. So in 2020, as we close this series, what should we remember? We'll look at Matthew 24 and verse 13. There are a lot of passages we could use here, a lot of passages and a lot of things we ought to remember. But this is a very succinct one. In 2020, Paul said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Jesus said that too in Matthew 24 and verse 13. He that endures to the end, the one's going to be saved. That's what we need to remember in 2020. So even though we won't talk about all of these passages and all these principles probably again for a while, in 2020 we'll go on if the Lord wills, and we'll go through February and March and April and so on. Let's remember that if we endure to the end, and I'm not talking about the end of 2020, although that might be the end of time, but I'm talking about the end of our life, we shall be saved. So let's think about our life in 2020. All these resolutions people make for January, those are the resolutions we can make. Not just for January, but for the rest of our existence. That's what we can do. The rest of our existence. Through this year, anyway. And even through 2021, 2022, on down the line. Turn your books now, if you will, to number 274. 274. This song can remind us of some things about this. Remind us why Jesus died and how He's calling us. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling for you and He's calling for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Reminds me of a picture I saw one time as people tried to depict Jesus Christ, and they had His arms, this person's arm hanging out as if He were inviting people in and said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Well, although that picture was just a figment of some man's imagination or someone's imagination, the thought is true that Jesus on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. So what should we do? Come home. You who are weary, come home. Because Jesus is earnestly and tenderly calling, O sinner, come home. How do we do that? Well, we come unto Jesus by listening to what He says and doing what He tells us. And that's how we come to Jesus. We put on Christ. As we've been baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. Why would we be baptized into Christ? Because He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." There's not a person in here this morning that doesn't want to be saved, do you? Go to heaven. If you've not done that, will you do that? 2020 was the year I was. And I'm going to be faithful in December, if we all live that long, you look back and say, I obeyed the gospel that day in January. And I've had all these months to serve the Lord. And then when 2021 comes, you can say the same thing. And 2022 and 2023 and 2024, however long we live. Can I help you do that?